Well, this afternoon, everyone, I would like to take you for your thoughtful consideration into the Word of God to look at a subject that you might not realize plays a very important part in your life, maybe much more so than you realize. What we have here, we know about the law of God. The law of God is very important. That's basically, we summarize that as the Ten Commandments. But God has many other laws that play a part also in Scripture, and we're going to look at one of those laws today and see just exactly how this law affects your life, yours, mine, and everyone else, young and old alike, because this law is very much a law that is immutable and unchangeable. God has said it so, and there is nothing that can reverse the effect of this law. Some call it karma, in the way they refer, what goes around comes around. Some call it the law of compensation. Certain things tend to equalize out in the process of time. This powerful law is important in this way. As I mentioned, it affects young and old alike. So everyone is covered by this very important law. It also affects our relationship with our God, our Heavenly Father, and also our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's important for us to keep this, that these two levels are involved with this law. It deals with all the physical level of everyday activities that we function as human beings in life, and it deals with all the relationship of human beings with their Creator and their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to talk about today, and the title of this message is Sowing and Reaping, How It Affects Your Life. Sowing and Reaping, How It Affects Your Life. God's law of sowing and reaping is stated for us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Let's go there, please. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. It begins in verse 7 with a very serious warning. It says that if you don't understand carefully how this law operates in life and how it affects your life, you can be deceived. You can be deceived. And notice how it says, be not deceived. God does not want us to be deceived how this law impacts our everyday life. He says, God is not mocked. This law means that nothing gets past God. Nobody can circumvent, do a lateral move, and get away with anything when it comes to this law. Because this law has been made by God to impact on every man, woman, and child, young and old alike. He goes on to say, God is not mocked. And then he explains what this law means, how it impacts. For whatsoever a man as well as a woman sows, that shall he or she also reap. Very important concept is revealed here. Verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh, meaning you just live for today, you live to satisfy your physical senses. You want pleasure, enjoyment, and you'll do whatever necessary to make your flesh happy and content. But he says, if you do that, you will reap corruption. But he or she that sows to the Spirit, to the things of God, as outlined by the Word of God, notice what the blessing is, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what we all want. Life everlasting. We know that this life was given to us for a very specific reason. We walk this earth by the grace of God, and he tells us that our eternal destiny lies in the application of this law, sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Now, most people, in fact, all people, have sown to the flesh. Hopefully, we've learned our lesson as members of the body of Christ, and we're not doing that to the degree we may have done it in the past. Because it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means everyone has been a participant in this very factor. They participated in serving the flesh and not necessarily the spirit. Verse 9 says, once we understand and are committed to this course that God has outlined for us, we are admonished, let us not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing, which plays a very important part for why God has made us. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, nothing, but we were created for good works. In other words, we could put it this way. You and I were made as human beings to make other people happy, not to add sorrow and upheaval and frustration and chaos to their lives. Yet look at how this world is living. And you have total testimony before your very eyes that people are reaping what they have sown, and they have sown heartache and suffering and misery and war, the very things that the Bible prophesied about. If you remember a song that was made popular some years back by Glenn Campbell, the country singer, it was called, on this particular case, a situation where I think the way the song actually went, it was called Try a Little Happiness. Try a Little Happiness. But it starts out, if you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load, with the seeds he's sown. Notice, the seeds he's sown is what brought about the heavy load. That's what happened. And we have also had sometimes heavy loads because we have sown seeds in our personal life that have backfired and caused problems and difficulties and things we didn't want to happen, but they did. And God allows these things to happen to teach us a very important lesson. You must not sow to the flesh. Your purpose in having this life was that you might have life abundantly, as John 10:10 clearly says, that Christ came with that understanding, that we should have life abundantly, that we should live for the right reasons, to sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. We weren't put here to make other people miserable and unhappy. You want to be happy. All of us want to be happy. And so Try a Little Kindness is the name of that song. And so, again, we learn something here, and it goes on in verse 9, says, let us notice not to be weary, because the human flesh does get weary. It says, and what are we not to get weary in? Notice well-doing. Never stop doing what God has outlined that makes God happy, that makes your fellow human beings happy. And then it goes on to say, for in due season, in a due season, when God determines, we shall reap. Our efforts will be rewarded if we faint not. So that's very important that we go on with that understanding. So applying this principle to physical laws and spiritual laws become a very important part, because what the Bible is telling us is that every one of us is a sower. We're sowing something every day. Husbands are sowing things to their wives. Wives are sowing things to their husbands. Parents sow to their children. Children sow to their parents. You have friends and people you interface with, and you're sowing all the way. In fact, the parable of the sower is given to us to show how that the seed is thrown out there, and some of it falls on a certain type of ground. Others falls in another area, and then some falls on real good ground and bears much fruit. So this is a very important topic for us. Our world is filled with heartbroken reapers. They've been reaping chaos and upheaval in their lives. They're not happy. And when we violate this fundamental law, it affects us by making us unhappy as well. And God has told us, don't be deceived by this, because happiness is not found chasing after physical things. You can gain the whole world and then end up losing your life, your purpose for why you were put on this earth by God. And what have you gained? Jesus would put it this way. Verily, you have your reward. That's all you're going to get. You will not have access to eternal life because you've been sowing in the wrong direction. Well, boy, with that admonition of Scripture, I would think all of us, as we say, put your ears on and take note of this, and this becomes priority number one. Realize how serious this law impacts on all of us. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7 tells us how Israel, it's a book that deals with some of the problems and difficulties affecting Israel today. It says, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. And that's what has happened today, even in our foreign policy. We have sown to the wind. We have done very foolishly in our political dealing with other nations of the world. We have violated what God has told us to do, not to get mixed up with them, and yet we did. We want to be just like them, like our ancestors. We make all kinds of special arrangements where we do what? We make agreements with them, and we say, if you will please like us, we will give you $1.6 million or $6 billion, whatever it might be. All that chaos that's going on now in Egypt plays a very important part. And we're mixed up with all these different elements in these end times, just as God said, that Israel would be like a cake upside down. Strangers devour her strength, and she knows it not. She thinks everything's going to be fine, and the bottom's going to fall out in the process of time. The lesson we want to learn from this very important verse is that there is a correlation about what we do each and every day and how it applies to the things we do on a daily basis, and whether it is the emphasis on the physical or the spiritual. When we gather on the Sabbath, and we talk and we come as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we come to sit and talk about all what our physical week has been and all our physical things and what we want to talk, or do we talk about God and His Word? Do we emphasize how important or what has happened this past week that maybe God intervened for you and you share that with your brother or sister in Christ? You let them know. That inspires all of us when we hear good stories about how God intervened with you. And I don't mean getting up with false testimonials and let me praise the Lord and give you all this stuff. No. Just talking to one another. You're just in it every day. Well, this week I had a rough time at work and so forth, and I prayed about it, and boy, I was so thankful God intervened and opened the door. Who gets the credit in that conversation? God does. That's how we share and how we bring true testimonial of God's working in our lives. The spirit profits the blessing of God. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. So if we're just living for the moment, oh wow, I hear liquid love from above. It's coming down, God's wonderful rain. But back to our subject here, when we're sowing to the Word of God, there's a great benefit that comes our way. If we're sowing to the commandments of men, we've got problems. And there are many today that have sown their lives and their devotion, well-meaning people who have sown their lives in the wrong direction. And this is what has caused what the Bible says in Revelation 12:9, that the world has been deceived by Satan the devil. Because people think everything is all right. I'm in the right place and I'm doing the right thing, when in reality they have been hoodwinked by some things that the Bible says are going the wrong way. And it creates a heavy load for the people who do so. Sowing to the Word of God, we read that in Luke 8, verse 11. Let's go to Luke 8, verse 11. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now the parable of this, the seed, notice how Christ defines the seed. The seed is the Word of God. And it goes on, those on the wayside are those that hear, and then comes the devil and takes away the Word out of their hearts. Now, that's quite revelatory to my mind, because it says that the devil has the ability to see if you don't press on, that he'll steal that. He'll do something to draw your attention away and steal the Word of God that was sown in your heart. It says, lest he should believe and be saved. Then it says, then on the rock, you have what? They hear, they receive it with joy. Oh, I'm so glad to hear the truth. And then what? They have no root, which is in, or they believe for a while, and then in time, in temptation, they fall away. Because again, they've got family, they've got problems, they've got difficulties, and Satan is able to use that to cloud the mind and create problems. He says, these are those that would fall among thorns. He says, that have heard, they go forth, they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. But those that have are on good ground are they which have an honest and a good heart. Notice their heart, and God looks on the heart, and he sees the motive that drives individuals in this category of people having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. That's exactly what God is looking for. Individuals who will respond to the sowing of God's word in their life. That's why you and I have been given that opportunity. A seed was sown in our life many years ago. As Jesus told his disciples, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Something came to your mind at a critical time, at a point, however that may have been, and God reached down into your mind and your heart, and he answered a critical question that put you on the road to where you have been called and where you are moving even into this day and age today. It's a marvelous story of how God works. Now, the same is very important. Sowing to the commandments of men produced the opposite effect. While you sow to the Spirit, it draws you closer to God, gives you more meaning and understanding of God's word. And remember, Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. They are the ones that produce the right effect because it feeds the mind, the spirit in man, and helps you and I as individuals to grasp what God is talking about. And when he adds the addition of his Holy Spirit, wow, then suddenly the whole horizon opens up. You begin to see things you've never seen before in the Word of God. And then it's a process of growing and overcoming and always learning. If a person ever stops learning, you start dying. Because God wants us to constantly learn. That's why he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you're growing, that means you're learning something else. You add another dimension, another piece to the puzzle of life. And God is always way out there, way ahead of all of us as human beings. And he's leading us through Jesus Christ, his Son, into eternity. And what are we going to do for all eternity? We're going to learn things that are absolutely going to blow our minds. We are going to see things that God says, well, let me show you how I did this. Wow! Because you see, nobody really knows how God did a lot of the things he did. We can speculate all we want, but he has not told us. It says the secret things belong to God. He has a lot of secrets. Classified information belongs to God only. It doesn't matter for us to know it, because if we can't handle what we've got on this level, what good is telling us anything on future levels? You've got to go from this point to the next point to the next point. But if you refuse to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, then you begin to slowly die. That's one of the reasons why people today have to stay on top of the technology explosion. Why? Because things are changing so fast. And if you don't, you know, you'll still be working on an 8-track from the past. And they're obsolete. They're gone. And what else is going to be gone in a flash? Technology is moving so rapidly. One of our individuals told me here recently that I was talking to that he has to go to special training because they've shifted certain things in the avionics that he works on at airplanes. It's changing. And so you and I have to constantly be able to move accordingly the way God outlines in Scripture. Let's take a look at Matthew 15 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees because they were all upset with Jesus because they wanted him to wash pots and pans. Had all their do's and don'ts and things they want, and Jesus hit him back with verse 3. He says, well, then why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? So sowing to the commandments of men is doing the very opposite of what God would have an individual do. He says, you know how God says, honor your father and mother, but you say, see, yeah, but. Pharisees had a case of yeah, butitis. Yeah, but. And sometimes today people do the same thing. They'll say, well, I know it says this, but. And I guess the proper way of saying it, God is saying to us, get off your butt and do something. Because again, he's tired of hearing but. He's hearing, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what he wants to hear. Obey my voice. In verse 7, he says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, for this people, that was in that generation of Jesus walking the earth, and the same thing happens in our day and age today. We have people that do what? They draw nigh to me with their mouth, oh yeah, they say they love the Lord, and they honor me with their lips, yeah, praise Jesus, but their heart, here's the issue that God looks for. He looks for the heart, and it's not there. God doesn't see a person connected with him from the heart. And so they go about, verse 9, but in vain they do worship me. Yeah, they say they're worshiping me. That's what they were worshiping, the God of Israel. In Old Testament times, we say today we're worshiping Jesus, the Son of God. And people today draw, unfortunately, the wrong conclusion, because teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. And that's why you have this group, that group, and all kinds of individuals, and they are basically following what they have been reared in as they grew up. So hence you have that good old time religion. It's good enough for mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. It's good enough for me. But they're basing their relationship on their family rather than the Word of God. Family may have been sincere, but there's a lot of sin in sincerity. There are a lot of people who were sincere. Adolf Hitler was sincere. He wanted to bathe the world in blood for German culture. Stalin was sincere. Mussolini was sincere. Sincerity is a wonderful thing, but it's not a final fruit of righteousness. And so it's important. It has to be there to be sincere, but we can be sincerely wrong. What this lesson teaches is sowing the Word of God versus sowing to the commandments of men. You cannot mix the two. God is saying, just like you don't put old wine and new wine together in sacks, so forth, you don't mix the truth of God with error. When you do, you come up with the wrong conclusions. Notice, if you will, please, Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, dealing with the Galatians, was somewhat taken back because of what had happened at this particular time. The people had known the preaching and the teaching of God. But verse 6, he tells us, I marvel that you so soon are removed from him that has called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is what Paul was referencing in Corinthians when he talks about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And most people don't even know what that is all about. They never hear sermons that explain that. But there are a lot of false Christs and a lot of, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, many would come in my name saying that I'm the Christ. They'd mouth the words. They'd say these things. Sounds so good, but it's only form and ceremony. It doesn't really comply with God's instruction. Let's notice Revelation 22, verse 18. Revelation 22 and verse 18. Coming to the end of the Bible, and in this vision from John that he received from God the Father to Jesus Christ unto him, notice what it says, verse 18. For I testify to every man, every woman, that hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man, any individual, shall add to these things, God shall add to him or to her the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away that individual's part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Well, that's quite a, as you say, a loss. Quite a loss if anyone violates that command. So here we have, again, sowing the word of God versus sowing to the commandments of men. Doctrines and teachings of men produce a plant or a product in the life of an individual that will be rooted out. Matthew 15, verse 13. Matthew 15, verse 13. Here Jesus makes the following statement. He says, every plant... When he uses these agricultural terms, plant, sowing, farming, he's using terms to clearly delineate how it impacts on the lives of people. You and I have been planted on this earth, and the seed of God's Spirit has been planted in our minds, and it is designed to produce certain things. And here it says, every plant, every individual, which my Heavenly Father has not planted, if God is not involved, shall be rooted up. Now what that says loud and clear is that there are many individuals today who think they are on a sound footing with God and Jesus Christ, that they have built their life on a rock that they think is Jesus Christ. But they haven't realized, haven't checked deeper into it, that what they have built on is actually sand. A false Jesus, a false foundation, and that's going to be rooted up when reality comes in the day of the true Christ when he returns from heaven above. One who sows to the flesh will sow and reap corruption. And that's exactly what the life of human beings is testimony to. Let's take a look at Proverbs 22 and verse 8. Proverbs 22 and verse 8. Here we have this thing of sowing again being brought to our attention by David in the Psalms, or in the Proverbs actually. These are Solomon's Proverbs here. And he that sows iniquity, lawlessness, notice what? Shall reap vanity. Vanity can be likened to striving after wind, just worthlessness. And the rod of his anger shall fail. The individual who is promoting this, sowing this, is not going to reap what he thinks he's going to reap. Job chapter 4 and verse 8. Job chapter 4 and verse 8. In conjunction with what we've just read. Even as I have seen, Job said. So he's observing, he's looking around. What has he seen in his life? As I have seen that they that plow iniquity, plow, a farmer again, functioning, operating, and sow, notice, they sow wickedness, reap the same. It comes back to haunt them because they have sown in a wrong direction. They have sown to the flesh. And here, how does the flesh operate? Well, let's go back to the famous works of the flesh that are defined in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 19. Now here the Bible makes it very clear and defines for us, now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is what shows up in the minds, in the hearts, in the actions of human beings who are just living for the flesh to satiate their physical needs and couldn't care less about spiritual matters regarding God, His Word, and their future, their personal salvation. Goes on, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Is that in this world today? Oh, big time. This is the theme of movies. This is the theme of television programs. You have to be very careful of the movies you watch today, because they show adulterous affairs, and young people are growing up today thinking that's the norm, that it's all right to have that kind of a relationship. But remember, these things we're looking at are the works of the flesh. How about fornication? Oh, well, you hear some of the, from the famous Pew Research Group. This is a group of individuals that check on churches to find out how people are operating within church congregations. Young people are out there fornicating. They don't see it. They go to church every Sunday. But what are they doing? They're doing what God has commanded them to flee. Flee fornication. Do not get involved and use your body, which is the temple of God's Spirit, and use it in a wrong way, because you're going to have to answer for it. And remember, what you sow, you will reap. And I always remember one time, this was on Paul Harvey's radio program years ago when he was alive. It was a story of a man who was a salesman, faithful to his wife. Everything was going great. Went to a foreign city, you know, like what goes in Vegas stays in Vegas type thing. And he had never done anything apart from his wife, but this time he did. When he woke up in the morning, there were certain things missing from his wallet, and in addition to that, a lipstick tube had written right on the wall, "Welcome to the world of AIDS, baby." How do you go back and tell your wife you've been infected? How you begin to see why God says this is destructive? These things just absolutely, they tear a person apart. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. The world is filled with idolatry. And our people, the Israelitish nations today, are filled with idolatry. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. All these things are running rampant in society today. Envyings, murders. Ghastly. Every day you listen in the news and somebody's being shot, stabbed. Something's happening. Poisoned. People are being murdered. Drunkenness, oh yes. Revelings, oh yes. Of such, and here's the bottom line. What needs to be always understood about this type of behavior, and if any of this has been in the past, leave it in the past. If any of you are guilty of this, don't be. Your sins are forgiven under the blood of Christ. You're told, go and sin no more. Don't allow yourself to go into these areas if you're ever tempted to do so. Remember God's admonition here, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things. Notice, it's involvement. It's what people do. He says, those that do such things, these things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no place in God's kingdom for this type of behavior. That's why we have to renounce it. That's why we have to not go there. And the pull of this world is to, hey, it's all right. Hey, everybody's doing it. Go ahead. And God says, no, everybody's not doing it. There are people who fear me, who will not bow down to this. Are you one of them? Remember Elijah thought at one time, he said, Lord, I'm the only one. They've killed your prophets. They've run. They're just running rampant out there. And he says, Elijah, Elijah. Don't you realize that there are 7,000 people who are in this mix of all this chaos and confusion that have not bowed the knee to Baal? That's the key that we've got to remember. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is recorded in Daniel's book. When that idol was thrown up there, all you've got to do is bow down to it. Bow, bow, submit, cave in, give in. Even Christ was tempted by Satan the devil. All this I will give you if you just bow down and worship me. It's mine to give to whomsoever I will. And Christ never contended with him on that point, because he knew he was the temporary God of this world, and God had allowed it. But he pushed on. He pushed forward, and because he pushed forward, you and I can get down on our knees, as lacking as we are, and we can thank our Heavenly Father that we have a wonderful elder brother who is our high priest, our Savior, and our coming King. To him we shall bow, because a day is coming when every knee shall bow and confess that Christ is Lord. You and I have our chance and opportunity now to bow. The rest of the world will be forced to bow if they refuse to comply. Now notice verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now this is where God's handiwork is working on our behalf. The fruit of the Spirit is love, because God is love. And a joy that comes from knowing the truth of what life is all about. And peace. Your mind is at peace. You're not all torn up inside. Long-suffering, you're patient, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. In other words, when you're doing these things, there's nothing in the law that says you're in violation thereof. You are in compliance with God's will. Well, sowing to the flesh does not produce the right things. That's why, again, if one desires to be in the kingdom of God, then we need to listen to what God has to say and ask God daily, please help us to be obedient. Please strengthen us. And where we fail you, where we drop the ball, please help us. Pick us up. Help us to go forward. May you be glorified in it, because, Lord, I don't have what is necessary to make the grade. Only you working in and through me, as you have said, will make the grade. The glory, the honor is yours. I can't save myself. I can't save anyone else. And neither can you, folks. Neither can you. Reality says that it is seeking the truth of God and pushing forward that makes the grade, with God's Spirit working in and through you. When one practices these things that are mentioned here as the works of the flesh, it cancels one's efforts out for the kingdom of God. We can't afford to go ever back to that type of living. Another area that comes into play on this is the teaching of false doctrines or heresies. Now listen to this. This comes from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. I'd like to read this to you under the word heresy. Listen to this. And listen today what goes on masquerading as religion today. It is an opinion, especially a self-will opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of truth. Now, where is the power of truth? You've got it on your lap. It's called the Bible. It's the power of truth, because God's word, John 17:17, thy word is truth. These words are not flesh, they're spirit. And they are life, according to Christ himself, who cannot lie. And it goes on to say, it is substituted for submission to the power of truth, or what God says, and leads to division. Now look at how churches end up all torn in division. What is this telling us? What's a little bit more? And the formation of various organizations, religious groups. Such erroneous opinion are frequently the outcome of, here, personal preference. People say, well, I think I like this one better than that. So personal preference, not the word of God, but personal preference, as well as the prospect of advantage. Well, I want to be with this group because I think I can maybe get ordained in this group, or maybe I can have this blessing or that blessing from this. So there are people, as the Bible warns, men of your own selves that rise up wanting followings for what? Personal advantage. They want to be in the leadership position. It's not so much the people. It's the ones who are the leaders. And leaders have a serious responsibility to walk humbly before God, because they are the caretakers of the flock of God. And God cares very much about his people. So all denominations, cults and so forth, he goes on to say, are the results of false teaching. When you really break them down, you find out, do they match what the Bible said? Well, you can knock out the vast majority of them. How do you do that? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Bam! All these churches are out the window. One simple test. The Sabbath is a test. Now, the people are well-meaning and they're sincere and there's so many wonderful people in these churches. And it's a shame. But that's why the Bible says they're deceived. They've never checked to find out how did this come to be. One man calls in on a talk program and he says, I've always wondered why does modern day churches all meet on Sunday when the Bible says Saturday, the Sabbath? I've always wondered that. Go back, sir, to Constantine. Study your history. Go back and read, and you'll find out. It is traditions and commandments of men that have caused this. One large group says that all these Sunday evangelicals, they cannot justify from the Bible their position. They bow to the dictates of the Mother Church, because the Mother Church is the one that changed it. Yeah, for their own personal benefits. Now, you might say to yourself, but Pastor, aren't we a denomination, the United Church of God? Answer, no. We're a non-denominational organization. We don't represent any other organization of men. We represent the organization and the teaching of the Word of God to the best of our abilities. And when we are in error, we must change in order to maintain the blessing of God. As long as we're willing to do that, God will work with us. He'll take care of our idiosyncrasies and all our mistakes and all our dumb stupidities that we do as human beings. But we have to fear Him, we have to love Him, and we have to be in compliance to Him to the best of our ability. That's why this thing of sowing and reaping, how does it affect your life, my life? It affects us every day of our life. It could be summarized in the term of, what do you choose to do? Do you choose to be ugly today to someone? Get out of my face! Want to be ugly? That's what you just sowed. If you want to be, hi, how are you? Hope your day is going well. You just sowed a blessing to somebody. You've given them something to be encouraged by. These are the things we have to think about, brethren. Husbands need to do what? Not create suffering for their wives, but make them happy. And wives to make their husbands happy. And parents to make their children happy. And children to make their parents happy. But when we sow to the flesh, we make everybody unhappy. And happiness is a state of mind, because Jesus said it when he told the disciples when they were preparing for the Passover. He said, happy are you if you do these things. Now, when the Son of God returns, what's he going to be doing? He says, blessed are those that when he returns, find so doing. Doing what? Sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit of God. Not just watching and praying, which is an important part, but we have to be doing. What are we doing? Well, just standing here watching and praying. That's not going to do it. That's an important part. How do you treat others? It's called the golden rule. How do you want to be treated? You want to be treated with love? You want to be treated with respect? Then do it to others, even if they don't do it to you. That's what Jesus means when he says, love your enemies. In other words, you show love to them by doing what they're not doing to you. They're attacking you, persecuting you, saying things about you that's not true. But you don't have to worry about that. You just love them the way God says to love them. Show them, do this, do what's right, and do what? And then you heap coals of fire upon their head because they know deep down inside they're not doing what's right. They want you to get down in the dirt and dig and yell and scream just like they do. That's called the works of the flesh. You and I have been called to renounce that and walk a better way. God says, if you're willing to walk my way, I'm willing to forgive you through my son's sacrifice. If you believe in him and what he has said, I'm willing to forgive you of all the things you have done wrong. And oh, dear brethren, we have done so much wrong. I don't think any of us can comprehend how wrong we have been. And how for 6,000 years, from the Garden of Eden down to this time, we have now inherited once again, as Jesus said, the days of Noah. And violence fills the earth. If you can't see that, you haven't been watching very carefully. But I believe you do see it. And I do believe you fear what God's Word says is coming upon this world. A tribulation and a problem that is going to, it's going to cause an awful lot of heartache and suffering. Because people will not repent of their sowing to the flesh. You read Revelation. God's trying to stop. He allows certain plagues to come down. It says, and they repented not of it. It wouldn't change. And repentance is change. Something you've got to do every day. One of the other things then that God says, let's know, is Proverbs 6:15. Proverbs 6:15. Here's what he says is going to happen to these individuals who sow to the flesh. Proverbs 6 and verse 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. There won't be anything that's going to solve this problem for the individual who is a practicing. You see, you and I are not to practice the ways of the flesh. We do at times stumble and fall. All of us do. And that's why we have to daily ask God for his guidance, his help, and forgiveness. And we have to get up in faith and trust in God's word that he will do what he has promised to do. That if we confess and we acknowledge what we've done, not play games. That's why I said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I know what's going down, so don't play games with me. Because what you have sown is what you will reap, unless you cancel that out. And how do you cancel it out? You run to the blood of Jesus Christ. You run to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You acknowledge to your Heavenly Father that you believe in what he has outlined for you in Scripture, and you're living by faith. You don't see the end result, but you know it's going to be good. Why? Because all things work for good to those that are called of God according to his purpose. God's not working out your purpose, my purpose, or anyone's purpose. He's working out his purpose. And he says, if you want to be a part of my team, here's what you do. I want to be a part of that team. And I think you want to be a part of that team as well. Then we must remember, don't let anything sabotage that effort. Because Satan is out to knock us out of the race. Remember, it is likened unto a race. Talks about in Hebrews. And there is a God of this world who'd like to knock us out of the race. And say, just give up. Quit. Just give it up. You don't have to play. You don't have to go through all this. What's the alternative? Calamity. And guess what? Suddenly shall be broken without remedy. A lot of people are headed that way. You and I must not do that. All right. Another aspect of what God wants us to keep in mind. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. And here's how it applies on the spiritual element. Remember, it applies to the physical and to the spiritual dimension. And in 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, and verse 6. But this I say, what does he say? He says, he that sows sparingly. In other words, if you want to live life as a tightwad, and you really want to squeak, kind of like Jack Benny used to do, those of you who remember some of the old comedy routines of Jack Benny, he's kind of like Mr. Tightwad. Well, God does not want to have a bunch of sons and daughters who are tightwads and skinflints and all the other things that might go with it. He says, he that sows sparingly, means I just eke it out, I'll give just a little bit, is going to reap also sparingly. And he that sows bountifully, in other words, here, have some extra. Here's some good. I'll give it to you. I want you to enjoy it. Shall reap bountifully. Every man, according to as he has purposed, notice again, in his heart. God wants to see the heart. Is the heart going to be one of, I'm only going to squeak it out a little bit? Or, hey, God has been good to me. Here, I want to share this with you. We have a lot to be thankful for. And God goes on to say, so let him give. We use this many times to see on the time of the holy day offering when we are giving our offering to God. And we're to do whatever it is, not only offerings, but food, ourself, our personality. Even your personality. Give of yourself bountifully, your personality. Give of yourself to one another. I'm going to hold back here. Smile. Enjoy life. It's the only one you got. Make the most of it. Don't look back. The Apostle Paul says he forgets the things back. If he kept looking back in the mirror of what happened, he'd have gone crazy. Because he knew what he had done. But God was merciful to him. And he felt so driven by that tremendous compassion of God that he looked forward. He says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to know about the power of his resurrection. I want to know these things. You got a hunger and thirst to know. You know physically when you're thirsty what you're looking for. You're looking for water, something to drink. God says for spiritual things, you're going to have to reach for the Spirit of God. Because that's where the rivers of living water are found. Then he goes on to say, not grudgingly, not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. It is, God is... How many of us can even enumerate the many things God has done for us day in and day out? Let's begin with every breath you breathe. Anybody want to give up on having breaths? Would you like to have a few more? And some more? And tomorrows? Would you like a lot more tomorrows? Would you like a lot more time with your family, your loved ones? We all do. We all do. We're all in a common denominator in this area. And God says he wants us to have the same outlook, to be cheerful. He loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want a sourpuss giver. Well, I got to give it. You know how you can make your wife happy? Say, honey, that was an absolutely super fragilistic, expialidocious meal tonight. That was wonderful. Thank you, dear. I'm glad you like it. This makes her feel good. Why? Because she spent hours in the kitchen. If you don't think that's an offering of love, some guys need to stand in the kitchen for hours and make a meal sometime. And they would appreciate what the wife does in that kitchen. All these things are just simple, basic things that God wants us to keep in mind. He doesn't want us to be chasing false doctrines. He doesn't want us to be sowing what Proverbs 6 and verse 12 through 15 talk about, sowing discord. He doesn't want us to be saying those things. You remember the old saying, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me? How many of us have been hurt by words? All the hands go up. We've all been hurt. Nobody likes to be hurt. But words are powerful. Sometimes it would be easier to get hit than to get hit with some of the words that people throw at people. You and I must not do that. We have a serious responsibility. Christ would not do that, and he doesn't want us to do that. Contentions tear things down. They don't build up. And everything God does is a building process. It doesn't take a whole lot to rip things apart. It takes a lot of effort to build things up. Well, to kind of wrap this up, I'd like to just again emphasize the importance of sowing to the flesh as opposed to sowing to the spirit. When an individual sows righteousness, Proverbs 11, verse 18 gives us this answer. Proverbs 11, 18. It says, "The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness shall have a sure reward." A sure reward. That's in Proverbs 11 and verse 18. Join me now, one final scripture. Let's close on this. In Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul now emphasizes the following. He says, "And that knowing that the time is now, it is high time." It's very important. It's high time to awake out of sleep. You know, Matthew 25 talks about virgins, and half of them were asleep. Well, it said all of them were asleep. Half of them woke up and had oil. The other half didn't quite make it. Read that carefully. And here Paul is saying, "Wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk or live honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness and strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh," the works of the flesh. We've got to stop that, is what the admonition is to all of us. We've got to realize that's our battleground. We can't cave. Well, you know, how sometimes Jesus put it this way, "The spirit is willing, all of us are, but the flesh is weak." And because it's weak, we need to ask God for His help to overcome it, or we will cave every time. That's just the weakness of the flesh and the way we are. "Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The life of Christ brings great blessings, not only in this earth that you and I live in, but the eternal harvest in the kingdom of God, which is to come. I hope you'll take very seriously what we have talked about today and check on yourself and ask yourself, have I been sowing to the flesh or am I sowing to the Spirit? When we pray, to the Spirit. When we don't pray, to the flesh. When we study the Word of God, to the Spirit. When we just put it on the shelf and let it gather dust, to the flesh. On and on it goes, day in and day out. Every page of our life as we live from one day to another. Dear brethren, may we not sow and to the flesh, but sow to the Spirit, because sowing and reaping and how it affects your life and mine is an everyday occurrence. And all you have to do is look at yourself, look at the world around you, and ask yourself, what are they sowing? What are they reaping? Do you want the same, or do you prefer what God has to offer? The choice is ours every day.